Walton glanced at his watch. He was 3 minutes late. The conversation with his brother had delayed him. But Ludwig of the UN was not known to be a scrupulously punctual man, and there was a high probability he hadn't arrived. The secretary in the office guarding Fitzmaugham's looked up as Walton approached. The director is in urgent conference, sir, and, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Walton. Go right in. Mr. Fitzmaugham is expecting you. Is Mr. Ludwig here yet? Yes, sir. He arrived about 10 minutes ago. Curious, Walton thought. From what he knew of Ludwig, he wasn't the man to arrive early for an appointment. Walton and Fitzmaugham had had plenty of dealings with him in the days before Pooh Peak was approved, and never once had Ludwig been on time. Walton shrugged. If Ludwig could switch his hands so decisively from an emphatic anti-Pooh Peak to an even more emphatic pro-Pooh Peak, perhaps he could change in other respects as well. Walton stepped within the field of the screener. His image, he knew, was being relayed inside, where Fitzmaugham could scrutinize him carefully before admitting him. The director was very touchy about admitting people to his office. 5 seconds passed. It usually took no more than that for Fitzmaugham to admit him. But there was no sign from within, and Walton coughed discreetly. Still no answer. He turned away and walked over to the desk where the secretary sat dictating into a voicewrite. He waited for her to finish her sentence, then touched her arm lightly. Yes, Mr. Walton? This screen transmission seems to be out of order. Would you mind calling Mr. Fitzmaugham on the annunciator and telling him I'm here? Of course, sir. Her fingers deftly flipped the switches. He waited for her to announce him, but she paused and looked back at Walton. He doesn't acknowledge Mr. Walton. He must be awfully busy. He has to acknowledge. Ring him again. I'm sorry, sir, but ring him again. She rang reluctantly without any response. Fitzmaugham preferred the sort of annunciator that had to be acknowledged. Walton allowed the girl to break in on his privacy without the formality of a return buzz. Still no answer, sir. Walton was growing impatient. Okay. Devil take the acknowledgement. Break in on him and tell him I'm waiting out here. My presence is important inside. Sir, Mr. Fitzmaugham absolutely forbids anyone to use the annunciator without his acknowledgement. The girl protested. He felt his neck going red. I'll take the responsibility. I'm sorry, sir. All right, get away from that machine and let me talk to him. If there are repercussions, tell him I forced you at gunpoint. She backed away, horrified, and he slid in behind the desk. He made contact. There was no acknowledgement. He said, Mr. Fitzmaugham, this is Roy. I'm outside your office now. Should I come in or not? Silence. He stared thoughtfully at the apparatus. I'm going in there, he said. The door was of solid paneled imitation wood, a couple of inches thick, and probably filled with a good sturdy sheet of beryllium steel. Fitzmaugham liked protection. Walton contemplated the door for a moment. Stepping into the screener field, he said, Mr. Fitzmaugham, can you hear me? In the ensuing silence, he went on, This is Walton. I'm outside with a blaster. And unless I get any orders to the contrary, I'm going to break into your office. Silence. This was very extraordinary indeed. He wondered if it were part of some trap of Fitzmaugham's. Well, he'd find out soon enough. He adjusted the blaster aperture to short-range wide beam and turned it on. A soft, even flow of heat bathed the door. Quite a crowd of curious onlookers had gathered by now at a respectful distance. Walton maintained the steady heat. The synthetic wood was sloughing away in dribbly blue masses as the radiation broke it down. The sheet of metal in the heart of the door was gleaming bright red. The lock became visible now. Walton concentrated the flame there, and the door creaked and groaned. He snapped the blaster off, pocketed it, and kicked the door soundly. It swung open. He had a momentary glimpse of a blood-soaked white head slumped over a broad desk, and then someone hit him amidships.